Right, well, Jubilee Church, we need to talk. Now, I don't know how you react when you hear those words. Depending on the generation in which you dated, those words may have inspired terror when delivered over Instagram. Oh, I got a wince from that one. MSN Messenger. Yeah, there we go. The golden years. Or I presume like a telegram from the Queen for the older people in the room. It almost all the time, it meant that you were in trouble. Or at the very least, it meant that you were going to have to spend a lot of money on flowers. Now, young people, I understand that this is not a thing anymore. I understand that you just ghost each other. Oh, I've dropped the Bible on the floor. That's a bad omen, isn't it? Do we believe in omens? Probably not. Young people, I understand you just ghost each other, which I understand is you just stay home and put a sheet over your head instead of going on a date. But of course, there are other ways for conversations to start. Have you got a minute? Usually means that you're about to lose that minute and the 59 that follow. Can we just have a quick catch up on usually means that you've been doing something horribly wrong and you're about to be caught up on exactly how stupid you've been? And now that I'm in corporate land, I find that any conversation that starts with, I don't think this meeting will take very long, means that you need to pack a sleeping bag and a hot water bottle. So introductions are important. And this week we're looking at the introduction to the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians in the book that many choose to call Philippians. And the introduction sets the tone for the letter ahead, and it also shows us some useful information about what the church was doing well. So we're going to have a look at that introduction today, and we're going to see what we can learn that we could apply to our church. Now, I should mention before we get into this, I know that it's Father's Day today. Many happy returns, season's greetings. I trust that you all got the requisite breakfast and beer in bed this morning, Sunday Times and a foot rub. I really tried to crowbar Father's Day into today's message, but this is fundamentally a passage about a man with no children in a Roman jail. So I'm just going to say, you know, thank you for your service, and maybe the best gift I can give you today is that your children are in a different room. So our goal today is simply to ask, what can we learn from the introduction to Philippians that we can apply to ourselves and our church? If the Apostle Paul was to open up the skies, descend from heaven, and park himself in a jail cell in Birmingham and write us a letter, what kind of letter could Jubilee Church expect? What would Paul have to say to our church? Now, last week, we heard some of the history of the city of Philippi from Simon. We saw pictures of the amphitheater and the temple. We noticed that they had been taking No Mo May very seriously for about 2,000 years. And we heard that this was a Roman colony. Now, the city was a place of high prestige. It was named after Alexander the Great's father, who, it turns out, was not called Alexander the Quite Good, but Philip. It had been an important city to the Macedonians, and now it was an important city to the Romans. What I think is relevant to today's passage is the way that the people who lived there made their money. This was a wealthy city. The main trade was gold mines, which, for those who didn't know, that means literally digging money out of the ground. And a lot of the population was the families of Roman veterans who'd settled there after the Battle of Philippi 100 years before. Now, the custom in the Roman army was that if you survived long enough, you could eventually be given some of the land that you had conquered in battle. You'd be exempt from taxes, and you'd be surrounded by people who you had served with and who'd received exactly the same reward. So these were a wealthy people, and these were a people who had strong reason to be loyal to the Roman Empire. They were receiving their reward from that empire, and if they left that empire, they might lose the reward. It's also relevant that this is not a city that had a significant Jewish population. We see in Acts 16 there wasn't even a synagogue. So this is a culturally diverse city with wealthy people and military families, but there's very little Jewish influence here. The conversations in the town square would have been about Caesar and Mars versus Zeus and Ares. This was not a place that would have heard of Yahweh, let alone Jesus Christ.